Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
To pay attention to these things. They may look like they are... It's a lot of information. When you sit down and hear the word of God for 3 hours, one message. But it's not too much. That's how we are taught. And I don't want us as a group of Christians, set of believers, to grow up getting used to listening to 30 minutes message. It's not healthy. Hallelujah. It's not healthy. And if you doubt me, go and ask those people who make all those movies why they make them in episode 1, episode 2, season 1, season 2, season 7. And what Satan is doing is what? He's trying to get your attention. If he can distract you, he won't need to worry about your prophecy. God may tell you many wonderful things about your life, about your future. But if Satan can distract you, then you won't need to worry. The title of this message is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent. That's the title of this message. Now the serpent. They have forced me to give them a title, so I've given them a very beautiful. Put up Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. All right, media team. Media team, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now give me New King James. Now I want you to pay attention to just look at your screen. This is the King James Version. Pending when we get the New King James. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast now of the field. The serpent was referred to as a beast. And it was also referred to as a beast of the field. When we talk about animals of the field, what kind of animals do we talk about? Like the oxen. Huh? The oxen. They are, when I say an animal belongs to a particular group or zone, it's just like saying a fish. A fish is of water. So the serpent was a beast of the field, which means the way you would have used an oxen to plow your ground, you can harness a serpent to plow your field. It was a beast of the field, which also means that the serpent was not a slithering animal. It was not an animal that moves on the floor like that. It was after God cursed it. And what was the cause? The Lord said, you will move on your belly. Which means before that day, that animal didn't move on his belly. And in order for it not to move on his belly, it must have legs. Which means before the sin of man, that serpent was a beast with probably four arms or four legs or something that could stand. All right? But there was something that the book of Genesis told us was a very intricate character of the serpent. And he said it. Put up that scripture. He said, cunning. For the serpent was more cunning. Now, today, when you read all those story books that we buy for our children, what animal do we say is more cunning? The tortoise. The turtle. Or a Nigerian tortoise, a Nigerian... But the scripture says the strength of a serpent was cunningness. Please pay attention. Because the question that must arise now is, why did Satan choose that visage to come after man? Why didn't he come like a lion? Because the lion is a symbol of strength. But if you come after Adam or his wife with strength, they already had dominion. Are we together? I want you to see why you are facing the attacks you are facing. And it seems that every time you to pray against it, it takes another shape. You bind this spirit. Next tomorrow, they will come back in the form of your neighbor. All of a sudden, somebody that used to be a very good friend will now become an enemy that you probably can't even remember when you had issues with him or her. And I want you to know, if Satan was going to fight you, many times he will use people. So the person is not the problem. The person is a vessel. The same way if God wants to bless you, he will use men. Or animals. There was a prophet in the Bible that God was trying to warn not to misbehave, and the prophet was not listening. God had to use a donkey, because a talking donkey will do more than a talking angel. You see, this prophet, Balaam, he is used to seeing angels. It goes into the spirit realm. He's not somebody that an angel can play around with, because he has seen them. He said, I am Balaam that's forced into a trance without closing my eyes. You know what that means? Balaam is talking to you. You are in his house. He's playing with you. And he without praying. You know, for some of us, we have to pray and fast. To enter into a trance. Balaam can be playing with you now. And he will just... Now, that's a high level of anointing that not many pastors today have. But Balaam had it. So with great anointing, you must apply what? Great caution. Because when you have seen some things about God, you can become uncontrollable. If you are a woman that knows how to pray, and you over the year can say, well, this kind of problem, if I pray for 3 days, to be solved. Even God may need to send a donkey. Because if you see an angel, you may not think the angel came to stop you from praying. You will think the angel came to tell you the matter has been resolved. So God needs to use something that is odd, unusual, like a talking donkey. Prophet, you are a dead man. There's an angel in front of you waiting to kill you. The moment he saw the talking donkey, say, this is not normal. That's how God saved him. The man was a prophet, but he would have died. But by the time you fast forward to the New Testament did not recognize him as a prophet again. He was referred to as Balaam the sorcerer. A man started as a prophet, ended as a sorcerer. Do you know why he was called the sorcerer? Who has an idea? Who has an idea? Huh? Let me tell you. Okay, talk to me. Sorry? No. Please, give him a mic. I need to hear.
Part to a sorcerer, because of he did a spiritual consultation when he was asked, what would the children of Israel do that will go against God? So he consulted a divinity, in terms of divinity, not consulting God himself.
So, yes, thank you. So, let me just add more flesh to what he has said. You know, some of people that like going after prophets. Eh? If you are someone that is easily moved because someone tells you your phone number or what you ate yesterday, you'll be in trouble. You see, what makes Balaam's ministry very unique is that Balaam prayed and God told him, don't go there. God told him, you cannot curse someone or whom I have blessed. He went back, told that man, the king, or wherever he is, he said, this thing, there's no way. The man said, Oga, how much? You see, people like us, when we prophesy, we don't charge. You understand? But may you not find yourself in a challenge one day. And then the governor will say, Pastor, all these things you are saying, how much? We are not among them that will just waste. Just tell us, Kilo Magba, what will it take? Everything has a way now. Even when you in the when we are in the village, the Babalawo that used to do the work for us, he said, if there is any problem you bring here, and the solution is not here, it means there is one leaf that is not available. Once we get that leaf, you will see something. But I may not have the leaf, so I have to go and look for it. So that one will cost you money. This man came to the prophet and said, How much? I want you to see how Satan negotiates with our destiny. When you're about to enter into error and you pull back, Satan will come and begin to. Satan's next level strategy is negotiation. You didn't catch that. You didn't hear that. I said if Satan tries to get you and you survive, I'm talking about you want to make a decision. And you are able to survive the first level. The next level is negotiation. The first level is deception. The second level is negotiation. Are you with me? You need to understand this thing so that when you see them every day, you know what to do. So that you won't come and say, hey, but God, I prayed. What do you mean by God, I prayed? The pastor told you how this man operates. I said the first level is deception. Satan will never fight power with power. He will never do it. When he fought with Elijah, using those 400 prophets, Elijah called down fire. But when he sent Jezebel, Jezebel did not come out. You need to be careful of the battle that doesn't come out, but is fighting you. You need to be careful of battles that are in the secret place, battles that are in the darkness, but you are feeling their heat. When you are dealing with those kind of battles, you need discernment. You need the revelation. Because Jezebel will not show you her face, but you will be feeling the heat. A whole Elijah with that kind of anointing, he ran away. He would have died in the wilderness if not for the angel that came to give him food. So don't even start and think that you are very spiritual. You may not be as spiritual as Elijah. That it was a chariot of fire that came to. Most likely you now, God will just tell you, go and die. We'll meet you at the Heavenly Express. But Elijah, God did not even permit him to die. So I want you to imagine that level of spirituality. Before you start claiming Elijah is Old Testament, I want you to calm down and think about this thing again. But this Elijah that was so powerful could not stand the warfare of a witch. But he could deal with the 400 prophets of that witch. Which means Jezebel, in mathematics, J greater than 400. That means J is anything from 401. And these 400 are all men. So all of it are saying, what will she do? What will she do? Okay. Just stay there. We will show you what we are going to do now. Shebi, you are making noise. the ancestor of this person you are fighting is stronger than 400 prophets. Do you think those people who agreed to call down fire, do you think they were not sure that Baal will answer? Do you think that was the first time they've been doing tricks, magic tricks? They agreed to it. Do you think, honestly, that they agreed to something they didn't know? But Baal ran away. Baal ran away. That's the only problem. It's not that Baal could not call down fire. But when Baal saw the person that they came to, Ebamatic, Baba Boeja, you should have just leave this madman. You should have allowed the king to send soldiers. You are a prophet. No. You should have asked me now. When you ask me, I'll tell you, okay, this kind of person is not direct combat. They went after the prophet, and the prophet disgraced them. By the time the woman herself that ordained the prophet, you know she was the one that chose those prophets. By the time she came out to say, what? You killed my prophet? By this time tomorrow, if your head is still on you, I'm not Jezebel. So when you hear that kind of thing, the woman that sent the message, you can't see her. You don't know where she's coming from. What's the next thing? You run. He could not even disappear. He ran. Because when Satan puts fear in your life, it demobilizes you. Your spiritual gift will stop working. Your discernment will stop working. And if God helps you, that you don't even have a friend, someone to hold your hand, I agree with you, you are finished. The scripture says that the serpent was more cunning. So we have other animals that are cunning, but this one, it doesn't come after you saying, who are you? No, it engages you. It talks to you. It makes you comfortable. It makes you comfortable. And people have made marital destiny errors, marital errors like this because of negotiation. People have made errors like this career-wise. People have made errors like this and they threw their lives away. Don't make a mistake. We already have enough cases of people who have made mistakes, and many of them fell into the trap of what? Negotiation. Put up that scripture. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord has made. So who made the serpent? So you notice when you study some of these animals, some of them may be very weak. They may be very small. But God will give them one ability with which they can protect themselves. There's one animal called, is it the porcupine, that has spikes. When you see the animal, the cobra or the big snake with one movement can swallow it. But if you do it, you die. If the serpent tries it, it dies immediately. Once it releases those spikes, everything, that animal is finished. So you don't judge the strength of your enemy by the physical size. You are making a mistake. The first thing you need to do when you notice that something like this is at your door is to assess the enemy. What is the strength of this enemy? Where is his power coming from? If this enemy is coming from the water realm, you must look for what is that thing that counters water? Really? If I say what counters fire, you can say water. Right? You can say water. What counters fire? Powder. Did you say powder? No, the element must be in nature. Huh? Oxygen. Oh, sorry, what did I say? No. Not oxygen. I said, what was my question? What counters fire? What counters water exactly? So water can counter, can nullify fire. I said, what nullifies water? I have $20 for the Joshua, you want to take my money? I need to pay your school fees. Huh? Joshua is trying to say something. What did he say? I said, what has the power to counter? It's like you are looking for money now. You don't know all these things anymore. To solid, to ice. Jono said, okay, for Jono, we will debate this on Sunday. But I want to give all of you the chance to go online and check. But he said, no, Pastor Tokwe, please come and sit down. Let me move around a bit. Eh? But you should think, see, let me tell you, this simple exercise we just did is the reason why many of us are trying to defeat a particular enemy with wrong instrument or wrong weapon. For instance, Jesus, our Lord, said, they asked him, say, Master, why could we not cast out this devil? And he said, because of your unbelief. Which means that, generally speaking, your faith should be able to address most problems that you will have. Your faith in Jesus Christ should be able to address most of the problems or all of the problems you will have. However, there might be certain things that are peculiar to certain spirits. And if you don't have those things that Peter calls add to your faith virtue, if you don't have, so maybe after the man of God that is coming on Sunday leaves, if I'm not done with this, we will go to add to your faith. We'll take one of those items. I think we've done it before here. We'll go back and add to your faith virtue, because that's those line of verses that Peter gave us is very important, because Peter said if you don't have these additions, you are blind. He said you will not be fruitful and you are spiritually blind. So when you are praying, God, give me open eyes, God will say no. If you need open eyes, if you want to be fruitful, you need to go and add some things. You have a bachelor's degree, you need master's, you need PhD. Add to your faith. There are sometimes your faith cannot stand alone. That's what Joy is saying. In this particular case, Jesus said, how be it? This kind, goeth not out except by prayer and by fasting. And some people, very lazy Christians, including pastors, have tried to convince us that that place was not originally in the Bible. Elsa, go and fast. May you not find the problem that will make you swallow your words. Okay, fine. Maybe it's not even in the Bible. Maybe it was the people that wrote it in English that added it. But did Jesus also fast for 40 days? Do you know that 40 days fasting Jesus did is probably the only one that was recorded? It doesn't mean he didn't fast again. Are we together? They just gave you, because they knew that some people will come in 2025. They will be saying that fasting is not good. It's not necessary. But look at your stomach now. A man, like a pregnant woman. Before you come and talk to me that fasting is not good, you need to check yourself. Don't just come to me with a pot belly. You are competing with your wife and you are telling me that fasting is not good. Go and watch yourself. Go and fast. Go and do something to yourself. Don't be lazy. I know you have ulcer, but try. Try. Don't bring revelation out of your weakness. Jesus said, albeit this kind, which, and what was the problem the man had? That boy, he had, is he epilepsy? He always throws him, and it was caused by spirit. He throws himself into fire. Sometimes he throws himself into water. So if you go to a church and they are praying for the boy, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, sometimes it is the fire demon that will show. They say, pour water, pour water. The pastor is not aware that there are two types of demons there. One is fire, one is water. So when you pour water on that fire, the other side will come out even stronger. Say, but we prayed now. Pastor, I don't know. Jesus, you see all those stories in the Bible? They were carefully selected. So that before you say something is not possible, read the Bible. Before you say something cannot happen, Jesus had 12 apostles. 9 of them was kabashing, holding their hands, praying. They could not cast out one spirit. Jesus came and he was angry. Because you are my disciples. You are the ones that follow me everywhere. I want to, by the time I die, I will leave the church for you. You will take over. You cannot undo this. Meanwhile, I want your shadow to cast out the sick. I want you to go to India and do revival. You, all of you say, oh yeah, hold your hand. Oh yeah, you try your power. You try. This one will come out. The way he taught us. Oh yeah, come out. The demon will be laughing. Let me tell you, anytime a demon tries to mesmerize you by laughing, just know that it is playing a cunning game. It wants to see if you'll be confused. Once you see that thing, you to start laughing. Then look at your wristwatch. Have I not explained these things to you people? I say, look at your wristwatch and say, well, this is 6:30. I give you 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, you come out. Then go and sit down. If you allow that demon to push you into emergency, Holy Ghost fire, speaking in tongues, they know that they have caught you. They will never go. You must exercise your dominion. That's why Jesus didn't tell us to pray against spirits. He told us to cast them out. There's a difference. Unfortunately, in Genesis chapter 3, our sister Eve did not know that the serpent talking to her was a evil spirit, was the devil. So she started talking back. Put up that scripture. Let's look at it quickly. When the serpent came, it had the ability to talk. That serpent had the ability to talk. So I want you to see how far the serpent fell. If I have the opportunity, I will show you that serpent in Revelation. Is it Revelation 19, Abby? Where the scripture said they overcame him not. That same serpent. The Bible calls him that old serpent. This same Jogomi, this same guy. The serpent said to the woman, as God indeed said, please, can you confirm to me? Did God say? The serpent didn't come as though he was trying to confuse the woman. I want you to be thinking now, because this is how Satan talks to people. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure. What do you mean you're not sure? You have been listening to the devil for 3 hours. This is the devil. The problem is that the person the devil is using to talk to you doesn't look like the devil. He looks like your colleague. He looks like the woman beside your business where you have a shop. He looks like somebody you are in the bus with and you are traveling together. They say, as God indeed. The serpent did not say, as God said. He said, did God truly say? When you hear indeed, the question is not on the authenticity of what God probably said. It's on whether do you believe what God said. Are we together? The question here is not whether God said. If God says, this is your wife, whether you like her or not, go and look for the like. Go and look for the love. The problem most of us what we don't really appreciate is that God can tell you something you are not aware of. You know, there's a error that I see in the New Testament church, like we Christians. And I know that there has been a lot of abuse, but it doesn't make it right. Have you heard people say to you that in the New Testament, anything anybody, any prophet tells you should be a confirmation? Have you heard it? That every prophecy must be a confirmation. What is the scripture that is being quoted? 1 Corinthians chapter, is it 14? is it 40, where it says prophecy should come either for exhortation, for comfort, and for edification. How many of you have ever received a prophecy, maybe here, but it was about something you were not thinking about and you didn't really know before? Please wave. All right, 1, 2, 3. Or 4. Or you've been somewhere, maybe your mother or your uncle or somebody gave a prophecy. They were not aware, but later that thing happened the way they said it. So what happened? Because we need to use the word of God. We need to test it. I have seen situations where someone prophesied to me. I laughed because that thing was not really, it didn't look like. The thing happened. There are some prophecies that don't require your permission. So when you begin to hear Satan say, or that guy in your office say, are you sure? Did God really say? They are not testing God. They are testing your understanding of what you believe God has said. All right. Scripture. Say, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Next verse. So you can see the question is a direct one. The problem is that many times when we are challenged like this, instead of us to speak straight and be direct, we will start dancing around the bush. A lot of Christians, when they are challenged like this, instead of them to go straight, maybe I just need to wait on the Lord. Maybe I just need to pray. What is that? Yes. That's what he said. Then when you go back to God, go and settle the doubt. Don't try to settle your doubt in front of your enemy. Because your enemy was not the one that told you, do not eat this fruit. It was God. And you will not get your confirmation from the person that is saying, as God indeed said. You will not get your confirmation because that question alone has put a strong question mark in your own mind. Look how that scripture said. He said, and the woman said, she said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of garden. Now, the serpent asked for this explanation. Hello? This thing that she's saying, the Satan asked for it. The Satan asked a direct question. The moment you are not able to provide a straightforward answer, you have started falling. Sometimes we do not provide this answer with our lips. We provide this answer with our mind, in our heart. We cannot say, this is what I believe, this is what I'm going to do. Then over time, what is that instability in your mind will now manifest physically. It's just a matter of time. She said, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. Yes, next verse. There's something here, but let's just leave it. Quite of time. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Did she demonstrate accurate understanding of the instruction? No. Please. Let's forget about the fact that we know whether it's the devil or not. This explanation she gave, if she gave it in an example, will she pass? She passed. There's a difference between understanding and persuasion. There's a difference between understanding and persuasion. You may understand something, but you may not be willing to put your life on the line for it. When you are persuaded about something, they say, we will kill you today if you do not turn away from Christ. Then you will now say, how old are you? 45. The one we have done is even okay. My master died at 33. What am I living for? Kill me. If they say the same thing to some people, they say, that money you just put in fixed deposit, you start thinking, you say, because last week you told your wife your PIN. And she knows how to, before the bank we know you are dead, she'll first of all transfer the money. Amen. If the bank hears that a big man like me, they block the account. So the first thing is, thank God he even told me his PIN. You move the money. After she moves everything, 100 million, she will now cry, ah, Utilo. So one pastor look at you, see the way you're kind of examples, eh? The way you just like you think very far. I say, come on, Bill. Don't be angry. I mean, give me Bible. So this woman explained to the enemy, expecting, oh my God, MJ, expecting that because of this display of knowledge and understanding, the enemy will back off. Did he do that? You can't explain to Satan. It doesn't play that way. If a man was sent by Satan and you say no to him, if he's a good man, oh, you don't want to marry him. Oh, that's cool, we're cool. We'll just go. You see that Satan, he will come back. Even when you tell him that I prayed, three angels appeared to me. Michael, Gabriel, which other angel do we know? There's one in I don't even know that Uriel. I'm not sure it's in the Bible, but one other angel, let's call him Oriofe. Grace. So angel called or goodness and mercy. That's what Psalm 23. Goodness and mercy. Even if all of them come down and say, Sister Shalom is your wife. You see, the brother, when he comes back, he will make you feel like you didn't have a vision. God knows he's coming with pizza. He's coming with pizza. The next week is your birthday. He will celebrate it for you more than the way you plan to. He will just go, before he goes that day, he will say, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your daughter. I begin to pray. Father, this year is a year of destiny. How can the angel say this kind of man is nothing? My sister. Just because someone has a prayer life doesn't mean it's of God. All these people that join prayer unit because of a sister, we have all their names and their matric number. We are coming for them. I'm telling you, you need to open your eyes. All of a sudden, it's 5 and 5 and 5 and 5. My eyes are on you. Tell the person, when my pastor agree, we'll start. And me, that's my area of specialization. He will wait for 6 months or 8 months. Because I know there is one test Satan can never pass. It's the test of patience. Satan is never patient. He will begin to change from an angel of light into a serpent, into an angel of light, into a serpent. You know, this brother is there. He's praying, Lord, she's a child of prophecy. Father, this year, he will pray more than the pastor that came to visit you. Then that night before he goes to bed, I just feel led to call you again. My sister, your destiny, as I was praying for her, I saw your destiny was bright. Let's pray again. She saw three angels, goodness, mercy, with my care. I said, maybe it's my mind. You know, angels can make mistakes. So my brother told me a story this morning, very touching story, and I didn't know what to do with that story. A Christian lady married a Muslim, and the Muslim said, keep your religion, you can be going to church. I love you, no problem. The lady came back after a few years and said, I want to become a Muslim. The guy said, no. She said, no. I have seen your character. I am converting because of your character. That thing touched me. That thing entered me like, I didn't know what to tell my brother like. Say now they have children, some of children are in Italy, they're in different countries. Those ones are not even going to church or mosque. But look at, you see, when Jesus said, by your fruit, he wasn't playing. You can't call yourself a Christian, you go online, you be spraying money, be showing off. It's not part of our life. It's not, you can't, just because you can't be a pastor, let me leave my people alone. You can't be a Christian. You understand? You are coming, And God forbid it will not happen in this church. That I'm coming, they will now use camera, carry me with Jeep, vroom, the way I drive me, vroom, now, like a celebrity. For what? Is that why Jesus died? For you to be driving Lamborghini. If you drive a Lamborghini, it's just a car, drive it for yourself. They will now show you the way you are walking in. If you see me in any of those things, it means it's not in this church. Maybe I went to preach somewhere. And that's how they do their thing. You understand? Not because me. I don't have time for that. There were some pastors I wanted to invite to this church. But I noticed that on all their social media angles, those are the kind of things they are putting there. And I don't have camera to be. So I stayed there. You know, I know you're supposed to invite me. I know I'm supposed to invite you, but I'm not talking. Because I don't have camera. So maybe it is what people are doing now. But I prefer to be on the safe side. This cunningness of the enemy will never look like a sin. It will never look like something that is wrong. If you look at it, you cannot really say there's anything wrong with what the conversation they are having. There's nothing wrong with it. The serpent asked a question and the woman answered. Did the serpent tell her to go and eat anything initially? He didn't tell her. Oh, put all the scripture. Sometimes people just be blaming the wrong person. He said, you should not eat it. She told the guy. She said, we should not eat it. We should not even touch it. Lest you die. Next verse. The serpent said to the... you shall not surely die. Now, initially when the serpent... Please, are you with me? When the serpent started talking, he started like he was not also sure. Did God actually say? Abi? Did God actually say, as if he also came to church to learn with us at the Bible study? He came like an innocent sister, like an innocent brother. Please, question time. I have a question. Sir, according to Genesis chapter 3, was he a real serpent or was he a spiritual? He looked like someone that wants to learn. Pastor will say, okay, brother, what's your same matter as you see me after the service? Because this one, we cannot discuss it here. See, I like people like you. They thought he was a serious brother. But look at the next statement he made. It was a statement of certainty. It was a statement that, in quote, overrode whatever God said. He said, you shall not surely die. In other words, whatever God says to you, forget about it. Can you see how Satan works? He will start like he's not sure. He will now be walking with you. It's not by going to church. It's not by going to church. You can have Jesus in your heart. Amen. I say, yeah, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, only God knows who is serving him. Yeah. And you that you are serving, you know. You say, yeah, we agree with you. Say, you see, my brother, that's why you should know God for yourself. Say, yes. Yes. See, let me tell you. You can do online service. Online service is just a way to help those who, for one reason or the other, cannot be in church. Let's assume you have somebody at the hospital, a sibling, a child. You go and stay there. You can join the service. You don't have to miss everything. Then those who watch, we are here now. We have people that watch ourselves from Switzerland. We have people that watch our service from Asia, from Hungary. I'm talking about those that have spoken to me personally from Gabon, Gambia. They've never been here, but they found a way to reach me. Man of God, thank you. Some of them will call, even their accent is somehow you can't, but we just connect. One of them calls me from this neighboring country, Togo or Benin or somewhere. He's a pastor in Christ Embassy, but he watches our service. He had a sickness, they couldn't treat him. He called, he said, God said you should call me. And I prayed with him. You understand? The online service is for those who, for some reason or the other, it is not a replacement. Because the owner of the church says, do not forsake. Do not forsake. He said, as the manner of some are. God did not, he did not ask whether you're in 21st century or 2019. He said, do not forsake. One of the ways we know someone that is backsliding is that he doesn't go to church. It may not have fully manifested, though, but in Pharaoh, we'll soon see it. Look at what Satan did. He said, did God say? The next thing, he became bold. You will not die, but live to declare the glory of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that thing he said, put it up. Is it not in the Bible? Yeah. Shall not die. Is it not in Psalms? Yeah. You will not die, but live. Is it? Somebody will say, yes. You know, brother, when you spoke that word, you shall see, it just resonated with my spirit. I felt something. You felt fire. You are in trouble. The moment it starts resonating, you are in trouble. Oh yeah, let's see the next verse. Look at the adjacent Ina had it. Say, for God knows. You went against the command of God. You now added God's name in the next line. If you are not a patient person, you will think this man is speaking for God. Somebody just told you, you will not die. The person that put you in the garden said, if you eat this thing, no remedy. Are we not suffering still because of this matter? Yeah. No remedy. I have told some of you, when you get to heaven, look for a big block and stone Adam and his wife. Because every time you went to the hospital, every time your mother or somebody had hypertension, it's because of these people. So God has forgiven them. But let me stone you, then I will forgive you too. So they'll say, they know those people from Nigeria. They are coming to stone. So let's pack all those stones. Let's say there are some very people from very dangerous people from adverse world. They have been licensed to stone. So go and hide Adam and his wife till we settle them. What do you people want? Salary increment. Oh yeah, we increase your salary. Don't come back. The day we went to stone our governor, they closed the university. Come on. If we should go home, go and stay with your parents. We went to prostrate. He said, you are my children. I'm not angry with you. 1 year with theirs. As we are resuming, as we went on strike. Ah. By the time we resumed, see the whole of us came back to school. He said, exam time. I said, no problem. We never read, though. We just want to. We have lost 1 year. Me, hey? Say, governor, Baba Dada. Because if you close the school again now, maybe I'll be 30 years before. I beg, I know they fight again. I know they fight. I beg, give me my boomers. He said, for God knows that in the day you eat of this fruit, what will happen to you? Your eyes. What eyes do you think they are talking about? Your inner eyes. What the devil didn't tell them was that their eyes were already open. If not, when God comes walking in the garden, you can't see him. You can't fellowship with him. The devil just took the truth. He took the truth and turned it upside down and gave it back to them. They were already fellowshipping with God. They already had a relationship. But Satan tried to tell them, there's a higher dimension. There's a new level. There's something that is reigning. When you eat this fruit now, the first thing you will notice is that your eye will open. You will know what you will be like God. What? Other thing is telling you don't need it again. What is science and technology doing to us today? Telling us that we don't need God. Don't need God if you are sick. Very soon now. I don't want to talk about some things because it just sounds very weird. Do you know that there are advanced technologies now that can back up the information in your brain into a server? When you die, they can transfer that memory. They will create a robot that looks like you. They will transfer your memory like flash drive back into that robot. So everybody who is, mama will be in the house, walking about, the robot will be behaving like you. So now you don't need to miss mama. Because everything mama knows is in that brain. They kept it. They've put it inside a robot. There are now robots that can smile. Before a robot, you see them the way they do. Go and check online. You will see all those robots from China and Japan. They look. So get ready. The next 10 years, nobody will be using phone again. Nokia has come out to announce that by 2030, they are not making phones again. That the phone will be on your hand, inside your hand. And they have shown us what the phone will look like. If I call you, my name will show on your palm. If you want to pick the call, do like this. You pick the call. Who has seen that video? It was on BBC. You know, go online on YouTube and check. You just do like this. Hey. You see? Huh? We are spiritual people. So then when it is possible for me to transfer my brain into a robot, that means I can be senior pastor for life. You can, oh, God have mercy. You, if you have the money, you can pay them. They will create a robot that looks like your wife. God forbid, the day that person's wife died, they will transfer the brain. The person will be in your house. You will not miss your wife too much. Because hey, you will not need God again. So let us pray. God will heal. We have backed up our brain. Don't worry. Don't worry. Let him die. Don't worry. We'll get him back. Is it not the brain that is the person? This one is just a carcass. We will transfer it. And very soon they will advance. They will use real human bodies. Transfer it. It's just that it's a different body, but the same person. You now say, let us pray. Pray for what? You say, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God. Be like God. Don't worry. We'll deal with God's matter later. But don't worry. You, I want you to be equal with God first. Then we'll deal with him. The agenda of Satan started becoming very clear. But it was too late. Eve could not see it. It was too late. Eve could not see it. She had been trapped by words. Trapped. No matter how strong you are, you listen to the devil, you are gone. Put up that scripture. Let's round up. Are you blessed? Don't listen to the devil. Don't even start. Because the devil will play with you and mess you up. Don't start. That's the problem. You think you can handle it. You're a liar. Eve did not survive it. Eve did not survive it. Don't play. Don't play that game. Satan is a master at that kind of game. He said your eyes will be open. You will be like God. You will know what is right or wrong. What knowing right and wrong means is not that you will know what is good and bad. It's that you will now have the power to determine what is good or bad. As far as you are concerned, you can do what you like and it is good for you. Nobody can question because you are like God. Next verse. Please, in all of this thing we have been reading, did the serpent say eat the fruit? You know when you hear this story in Sunday school, all your mind is that Satan said eat it. Satan only presented a case and said, consider this thing. You may not be pregnant, too. This thing may be the problem. This one may be. May. Until you start believing it, you just hear. Pastor, talk away. That is where Satan is pushing you, but he will not talk. He will just be giving you ideas. You will use your hand. Which is why when many people sin against God, they find it difficult to come back to him because they knew that they carried themselves. They took themselves to that place. They took themselves there. So they can't even blame the devil. Are you with me? They can't even blame the devil. Now you waka come. Put up that scripture. So when the woman saw, you see, all the time Satan was talking, he was describing that fruit. It was in the sixth verse that the woman now saw what Satan was saying. See, and that is what Satan wants. He will walk you through that process. He will keep talking to you. Don't worry. Everything will be okay. His own is that once you see what he's saying, you will do it. Once you can see it. The same thing in the spiritual realm, even on God's side. When they are preaching and they are doing everything, the moment you can see your deliverance, you will get it. When you see your deliverer, today I'm going to be delivered in Jesus, you will come there. That day, God will bring you out. The problem is that many times people come to church like this. They just cross their whatever, pastor talk, let's go. But some come with expectation. That's why you notice sometimes in the old service, God will only single out one person. Everybody will be blessed though, But he can single out one person and say, you, today, I remember you. Don't come to any service without expectation again. And I beg you, don't come because of any pastor. Because God can use anybody. Don't come because of any pastor. It's a mistake that a lot of us are making. Oh yeah, let's round up. When she saw that the tree was good for food, see now, she now saw the thing that the first thing God said is you must not eat. She now sees that this thing actually has 24 vitamins. It now has something that is good for heart. If you eat it, all your high blood pressure, all your liver. She's now seeing all those things. And that it is pleasant to the eye. We read this part on Sunday, right? Huh? You are not in church. We read it on Sunday, Abby. Yes. And I don't forget. Men, I don't forget to. And a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of his fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her. And he ate. Next verse. Bam. That thing Satan said. Did it happen? Their eyes became but opened into another realm. It's just like when they tell you, oh, we are going to pray for you. You know, we are going to do one thing for you so that this person will not die. Go and bring 12 yards or 6 yards of red cloth with pigeon, white pigeon, black pigeon, green pigeon. Then they will tell you some things specifically. Like in one church I attended one day, many years ago, the man was dying. They pray. The man nowhere. Then I went to call one prophet. Only God knows where they found the man, that prophet from. The prophet said, this thing cannot work with prayer. We have to add some things. Went to cut a banana tree. Now dug the ground. He now started reading some psalms. He said, as I bury this banana tree, that man will recover in the house. Exactly that was what happened. Yeah, I thought, come on, my slippers. That's why I run. I know they come. This one will be Christianity. Ah! Kilele. When you tell that kind of man that thing is of the devil, he will not believe. Because as far as he's concerned, he recovered. But where Satan will collect it back? Satan thinks generationally. Satan thinks generationally. He doesn't think about what he will get now. So the children will pay. The grandchildren will pay. The great-grandchildren will pay. Baba that created the problem has died. Nobody will remember what Baba did. But the children, like the lady I went to Abuja to preach, and the lady, very beautiful Igbo girl. When I say beautiful, her skin, flawless, she's the kind of person you say, I don't even want to know your name. Let's just go and marry. That kind of girl. But she could not get a job. The only job she got, they are paying her 30,000, a whole graduate. I told her, I said, this 30,000 is what we'll pay to our security man. And he's a Hausa man. And if you see her, skirt suit, everything. I said, no, this thing is not normal. Her sister too, the same thing. All pretty girls, nobody is married. The Lord said, there's a snake deity in their family. I said, are you people in your family worshipping any snake? He said, yes. Who is worshipping the snake? He said, for now, we are not worshipping it. That my mother was supposed to be the next priest of that snake. That it is the women in the family that serve as priests or prophets to that snake. But when her mom married her father, the father is a Catholic man, the man now took her away from the village, took her to town. So there was no way she could continue to serve the deity. The deity kept quiet for years until that woman started having children, started striking them. Read master's, PhD, no job. No marriage. No child. When they ask, what's they say? One of you must come back and kneel down and revive this oracle so that plague can be removed from your family. I laid my hands on her. I prayed for her. I told her, when I get to Lagos, call me again. She called me. I now prayed for her. I now said, the Lord said, I remember, I shared this testimony sometime. The Lord said, you will get a job. Share your salary is 30,000. This job will give you 300,000. She laughed. Pastor, if you even say 70,000, I'll be very, at least we are making progress. The day she got the job like this, they told her they will pay her 180. She was very happy. By the time the letter came, she saw 300. She comes and say, Pastor, send me account. I say, Fabale, I don't need your money. She said, I told that you are saying, can God really do it? She said, you see, I say, anyway, 300,000 is small money. But this one is a sign to you that the curse has been broken. But you see her in Abuja. Hello, my name is Franca, but they are worshiping snake. Ask question. You open your eye, they look fine face. Ask question. Which date are you people worshiping your family? Let me know. And I will tell you my own too. Ask question. Now they worship snake. Your mama they worship. Okay, your mama they worship snake. What about your papa? What about your grandfather? If she says she doesn't know her grandfather, you start fasting and prayer. That's where the secret is. Because many times Satan will hide the secret with one generation that nobody has the history. I say, Satan, we hide the secret with one generation that nobody remembers or has the information that of what they did. Meanwhile, you'll be wearing suit and tie until the red suit turned to black. Say, you are marching towards heaven. Which heaven? Is it not earth you will do before heaven? Amen. Give me Bible verse. More close. Are you blessed?
Yes, sir.
Every error that has been done in your life, every illegal agreement, every covenant, whatever, is canceled today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When you walk away from here, you will begin to see clear signs that the Lord has changed your story.
Amen.
See, the eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked and they began to sow fig trees. I will stop here because of time. Because the Lord later came into this matter and they started talking. What I wanted to review with us today is Satan's strategy of deception, negotiation, and knockout. Knock you out. But that knocking out, you will do it yourself. So that when God comes, you cannot say you are not part of it. You cannot say you are not part of it. Maybe we are the one talking here, existing since morning. I've been here for 6 hours. Do you think this conversation happened under 1 minute? This is a summary now. This is a summary. If they tell you the way everything happened, the Bible will be full. The moment you see something or someone questioning what the Lord told you directly, even if the person is using Bible verses, don't answer the person. Go back to God. It's very possible that moment you may be mesmerized. You may not be able to focus. Tell the person, I've heard. Go back to God. If you are not sure, go to your pastor. Your pastor did not listen to that person, so he's not influenced by that person. Or go to your sister in Christ or brother in Christ. Somebody that you know that will tell you the truth, not the one that will say, we listen, we don't judge. We listen and we judge. We listen and we judge. And that judgment is for your benefit. We listen and we judge. Nobody should come here and say, I know, everybody know the way they are saying. We know, but we are together, Abby. Let us check this thing. Mama, a lie. This thing no be God. They told you to bring tortoise. And pigeon. Say, just want to use it and all this isn't why. Hey, Mama, this one will be God. Say it's only water. It's not only water. It's only water. If it's only water, why are you selling it? If the thing is from God, why don't you leave it? Let everybody go and fetch it from the tap. Well, if you say this swimming pool is where God heal pool of Bethesda, why are you charging 50,000? They are charging, the price has even gone up now because dollar is higher. If truly what you want is to help people, why are you charging? If truly what you want is... stop deceiving me. Don't forget, deception always looks like the truth. If you are not farabale, you cannot see it. If you are not calm, you cannot see deception. That's why when you go to the market, you want to. It's easy to sell fake to you if you are in a hurry. Ah, I just want to buy this engine. I want to buy something. Give me these jeans. Give me this shirt. They'll just do it like this and give to you. Because you need it now. There was one shirt when I first got to Lagos. One white, all those malam that used to sell shirt under CMS. They will start the shirt the way they will even hold it. You will see some of them at Ojaoba under that bridge. The way they will hold the shirt is ready to wear. Very, like, how can a shirt be like this? Very ready to wear. Even the one you iron at home is not as good as that. You just wear, boom. Get home first. Then you get home, you know what you bought. It's packing shirt. By the time you put inside water, boom. And you do it like this. The Lord, you will know whether you did it right. The shirt will, one side of shirt will go like this. The other will jump up. You can never make it. That shirt can never. That shirt will never be balanced again. If you wear it, bought it, wound like the other one will do like this. So, brother, my task, kill it. What I said? Now, yesterday I buy the shirt. I don't know what happened. Anytime you are in a hurry, it is very, very easy for Satan to deceive you. The Bible says, "Those that believe shall not make haste." The moment Satan knows you are a very patient person, 50% of everything is bringing against you with faith. He knows. But if you are living Lagos life, fast life, fast life, fast life, you want to make it on time. What took your parents 50 years before they bought their house? You want to buy it at the age of 34, 35. You say it is God that is doing it. Slow down. After you finish buying up, things. Yeah, some people are coming to inherit it. So, the house my parents tried to build somewhere, so I can't live there. Even now, I can't live there. It's too old for me. For me to even do anything, I will bring the house down. And then, we are up here, we are living our house. I beg, I will stay for hotel. When I go there, I book hotel. I'll come and visit. Say, no, I just want some quiet. Don't worry, I'll come see you. Come see. I don't no time for nothing. So all those things you are putting your mind on, a time will come, you will look back and ask yourself, is this what I sold myself for? Be patient. If you want to gain power over satanic attack, especially mental attack that come against your mind, once the thing is coming, calm it down. Don't rush. Just we need to move now. Madam, cool down. Sit down. I better give Mama precious water, make she drink. They will give her water. Mama, wait. You go to the back, be cooking yam. You dey here, you dey cook here. I tell you, say, make we go. I say, calm down. Calm down. As that thing is calming down, before 1 hour, you will see what Satan is really planning. You will see it. I know if you wait, oh, they go. Instead of praying and fasting and all these things, calm down. All this hurry, it will not help any of us. Don't make haste to be rich. When is your time? See, you are a child of God. When is time for something? God, your Father. Jesus said, your Father knows that you need this thing. When is your time? He will bring it to you. He will bring it. You think you know what you need more than God? Say your Father knows. It's not your prayer that will do it. He said he will bring it to you. Rest in the Lord. It's a year of rest. Rest in the Lord. Come on, say I will rest.
I will rest.
Come on, say I will rest.
I will rest.
Whatever God cannot do for you now, leave it. Don't kill yourself. Stressing yourself over what? You woke up, you were able to wake up. You stood up, you could stand up. You went to the kitchen, you brushed, you had your bath, you went out, you came back. The Lord kept you. Okay, rest too. Rest. When is your turn? Your Father that knows you need all these things. He will what? He will bring it to you. And that's your portion.
Yeah.
All right. Our time is fast spent. I don't know. Do we have room for just one question? One question before we... No question. Okay. All right. Please, help me give her the mic.
Thank you. Praise that.
Hallelujah.
Firstly, Pastor, I want to thank you for what happened on Sunday. May God bless you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And bless Harvest Word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, sir, my question goes like this. On Sunday, you talked about marriage.
Yes.
How men beat their wives, that it's not good, something like that.
Mm.
And you lead us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So I wanted to thank God today you allow question. Because that very day I achieved something that will make me to ask questions. So my question goes like this. And you thought of man beating his wife. That Bible, God allows separation or divorcement. But where I am going to now is, what about the people that is not married, that is staying with a man without marriage?
The person is living with a man.
Yes, the person
but
has
not
been married. Yes, sir.
Is the person born again?
No, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
So in that case, the woman is not married by you. And you still have the gut of beating
no
the
bride
woman.
Price has been
no
paid.
No bride price at all. So in that case, such woman, what will she or the husband do? That is my question. And that, I have two questions actually, sir. The second one is about what you thought now of the robot of a thing. So I want to ask, when that time will come, will it affect the truly born again of God? Because I'm scared. I've not heard of this before.
Don't worry. Let us attack the first question first. This other one, maybe we'll talk about it on Sunday, but I don't know if we have. We don't have so much time. But did you hear our question? Now, this is actually a Bible study, because we are supposed to, instead of me to answer you directly, we're supposed to do Bible study. Because I don't know who will be listening online, and they may need this information. Now, the first I want to say that there are a lot of people in that category today. A lot of people. I told you about the lady that I said, that deeper life lady that I said I met, that said she's willing to marry a divorced man even if he has had up to 3 wives. Young girl, 20, 23 years. She just finished from Babcock. But she's willing. She doesn't say anything bad in that. As long as she has divorce papers and all this, I say, ah. So that is to let you know how serious the problem has become. If somebody that was taught by my father in the Lord, Dr. Kumuyi, is saying this one, what is the hope of all of you that you are jumping up and down? That you can't sit down and do Bible study. So there are many people in the church like this that are not married. They are cohabiting. They are living with somebody. No bride price was paid. Right? No bride price. No court wedding or registry. No church. No traditional and no church. My sister, this person, if the person doesn't have a child, let's assume that they have been living together for 10 years. The standard answer I will give them, I say standard though, and this kind of matter, I'm usually very careful. Before someone say, Pastor talk, say, okay, come off from your house. Because if you come out, make sure you are somewhere you are going to. No. So he's asking me that, should he cut off the live stream? The people that have this crime, they are online. In deeper life, when I was in deeper life, and in apostolic faith, the standard thing they will tell you is that move out of the house because you are not married. And whatever you are doing there, you are committing sin. Sir? That is the standard. You are committing sin. Since you said they are not born again, if they want to help themselves, they should go to the family and pay the bride price. Since you say, I said, since you say, not me, since you say that the people are not born again and the man wants to do the right thing, he's supposed to go to your family or to the girl's family and pay the bride price. Then they will not come for discipleship class. Or maybe even the discipleship class can come before. Because when we start discipleship class, they may decide not to get married again. When we reach one point, they may decide they don't want to get married again. In the case, there's a particular case that happened that I was told about. The pastor said the two of them have been living together. Then when they started coming to that church where he is the pastor, two of them felt convicted and they decided to give their lives to Christ, both of them. Please, are you with me? I'm saying this because it's not a straight line equation. The way we address this one is not the way we address this one, depending on the case. This other brother, two of them, the brother and sister, came to the church. They gave their life to Christ. They heard the pastor's message. Pastor said, you cannot be living together. You are in sin if you are not married. Two of them came to the pastor and said, we are new members here. This thing you are saying affects us. What should we do? The pastor asked them, you've given your life to Christ. He said, we gave our life to Christ when we started coming here. So who is this woman to you? He said, well, when we were living together, we did not know anything. We are just doing what we know. Now that we know, we don't want to continue sinning. Pastor, can we get married? Are you seeing that one? The two of them realize that what they are doing is wrong. But the man says, if I knew, I would still marry her. Even now, I still want to marry her. The pastor joined them and they move on. They started discipleship, Bible study, and they were doing fine. They did not say, oh, what we are doing is right. The moment the word of God was preached, they adjust. Now, in this case that you are talking about, the question is, are both parties aware that they are living in sin? Because with every time that you have any form of sexual intimacy, it's fornication. And in Revelation chapter 21 verse 8, the scripture is very clear that all fornicators, even if they are in church, shall have their part in the lake of fire. So, if such a person, if you know such a person, go and drag the two of them. I want to see them. Let them carry themselves with everything they have, their load. Come to this church on Sunday. No, I'm not joking. I want to help them. It's a serious matter. If you're looking at me as if I've committed a crime. The world will tell you, you have not done anything wrong. Now, if you have also had children, that is another matter. You know, I was reading one scripture on Sunday. I just removed my mouth. Do you remember? Where he said, if you have your child and both of the parents are unbelievers, that scripture was quoted, Paul picked it from the Old Testament. And what the Old Testament says is that those children are rejected before God. Children that are born, oh, I beg, when I leave me, oh, not me talking. It's a very sensitive thing, but it's the truth. So, at least one person in the home must be a child of God. If not, that child, God, that family, God has no covenant with them. Anything can happen to them. Because nobody is claiming them. No God, no Jesus, no nothing. So the question is, verse 1, do you want me to tell you the truth as it is in the Bible? Or should I be telling you the one that you like? Because if I say this tonight, people will say I'm now in deeper life. How do people want it? Truth or dear? How do people say it? So, because if I talk now, I don't want anybody to shout my name. It's inside Bible. It's inside the Holy Bible. It's not me. Please, if you know those people, go and drag them. Because they may have some peculiar situation in that relationship that I need to understand. But if they are willing to pay the bride price and stay married, let them do it. But if, for instance, the husband or the man says, no, this is how his father did it, this is how he wants to do it, so then I will tell the other woman, according to the word of the Lord, you are not married. Move out. Whatever you now do with that instruction is your business. This issue of divorce, remarriage, cohabiting, every pastor now must go and learn it very well. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, the number of young people that will be divorced everywhere in this country, all over the world, we need pastors. There will be shortage. So that you don't begin to preach message of condemnation as a pastor, such that the people can no longer be saved. We need to start teaching what the Bible says about divorce, remarriage, separation, cohabiting. What did Jesus say? What did Paul say? We have to teach it. Because where we are going, with what I'm seeing, with the way people are marrying anyhow, even using God's name, they have to be full. So we need to prepare. So please, if I can see the two of them, I would like to see them. I can counsel them and tell them what to do. This other robot question, we'll address it on Sunday. Are we blessed?